The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
How do you build hope? Well, here's something that might surprise you. Hope grows in the garden of adversity. Well,
we may wish it was the opposite. Why not let our hope grow in a time of pain-free serenity? Pastor Greg Laurie says that's not God's design, and Father knows best.
Hope actually gets stronger when things get harder, but you must turn to God, not turn away from God. Are you hopeful or are you hopeless?
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
When the alarm goes off early so we can get up and work out, it's easy to wish we could strengthen our muscles while we lie there in bed. But we know it doesn't work that way. When it comes to growing strong in our faith, sometimes we have to exercise our faith. And sometimes that comes at the most painful, distressing times of life. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us get through the toughest times of our lives. Today we'll see our faith grows as we lean hard on the Lord.
Here before us in John 11 is a story of a loved one dying. It's a story of severe grief that accompanies the death of someone you love. It's also a story of how Jesus reacts in such situations, and it tells us how God can actually be glorified through difficult circumstances. But it's also a hopeful message. So we will remember that no matter what we're going through, God is going to be with you. He'll give you the strength you need in your hour of need. Not necessarily before, never after, but he'll give you what you need when you need it. This is the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, these people were personal friends of Jesus Christ. And he would go to their home in Bethany when he would be going into Jerusalem. Whenever he went into Jerusalem, there was conflict, there was drama, there were things going on. So he'd go hang out with his friends first. And by the way, Martha was a killer cook. And I'm sure he loved her food, as did his 12 buddies he took with him everywhere he went. So he'd just show up and Martha would whip him up a feast, and Jesus liked to spend time in their home. And it could be accurately said that Mary, her sister Martha, and their brother Lazarus were personal friends of Jesus Christ. I think that's an important thing to note. And so as our story picks up, hardship has come their way. Sickness has invaded their home, John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was then Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Now look at this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Huh? What? And finally, Jesus comes strolling into town and he's days late. Not only has he missed healing Lazarus, Lazarus has died and he missed the funeral. So as he arrives in Bethany, Martha goes up to him and says the following, John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said, read my lips. No, he didn't say that. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. So here comes Jesus, greeted by Martha with this statement, Lord, If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Allow me to loosely paraphrase that. Jesus, you kind of blew it. You really let us down here. We were bragging on you to our friends, telling them all how awesome you are. And you don't even show up. You even missed the funeral. You could have done something. But then there's a spark of faith in there too. And Martha does say, yet I know that whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. Okay, so she's very upset with Jesus. Have you ever been upset with God? Have you ever not agreed with what God did in your life? Have you ever been disappointed with God? Maybe saying something like, where were you, Lord, when my parents divorced? Where were you when my marriage dissolved? Where were you when my child went prodigal? Where were you when my loved one died? Where were you when you let me buy a cat in a pet shop? Why did you? Why? I have to throw crazy stuff in every now and then. I know this is an intense message, folks, so I'll throw in wacky humor here and there. But, you know, where were you, Lord? We feel that way. And we cry out to him. And I want to say this. Mary and Martha were doing the right thing. We all have our anxieties and we all have our concerns. Don't separate yourself from God and isolate yourself from other Christians. Be with them and go to God in prayer with your concerns. Listen, with your complaints, with your frustrations, and say, Lord, I don't get it and I don't like it, but I believe in you and I believe you're in control and I love you, but I still don't like it. That's okay. It's just honesty. It's just honesty with God. There's nothing wrong with asking God why. Don't necessarily expect an answer, but you can ask God why. You know, if the Lord did tell us why things happen the way they do, do you think it would ease your pain and heal your broken heart? I mean, imagine for a moment if you were saying, God, I don't understand this. Why? He says, you really want to know? Yes, I do. You ready for it? Yes. Here it is. The reason that happened was so this would take place. Boom. What would you do?
I don't agree.
That's not right. That's messed up. You probably wouldn't agree with it. So I don't even think knowing the answer would help you. God says, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. So we should live on promises, not explanations. And we shouldn't spend too much time asking why. Now Jesus is going to put things in perspective. Martha, listen to me now. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, listen. Death is not the end. This is the promise of God for all of us. And this is why we as Christians have hope. Everything doesn't end when I leave this earth. Oh yes, my physical life ends, but I am a soul in a body and I live on in eternity. And one day heaven, according to scripture, is going to come down to the earth. Heaven and earth will become one. God has a future and a hope for every one of his followers. That's why we have hope in a seemingly hopeless world. Okay, let's go back to John 11, verse 32. And when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him falling down at his feet saying, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, come and see. Now here's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, oh, see how he loved him? You know, men have a harder time in general than women expressing their feelings and emotions. Girls do it so well. We so admire you. We don't understand you, but we admire you. The way you're just talking and have 12 girls talking at the same time, understanding each other. We're really perplexed when you all go to the bathroom together. That makes no sense to men. I'm going to the bathroom. Who wants to go? I'll go. And you all go. We're like, guys would never do that ever. We're embarrassed if we see each other in the bathroom. Oh, hi. But girls, a girl will say to a girl, I love you so much. I love you. I love you. I love you. Love, love, love. Guys are like, and we do feel love. We feel love for our brothers. We feel love for our wives. We feel love for a lot of people. It's just harder for us to say it, that's all. So we'll punch each other. Love you, bro. You know? Come on, we're messed up. Let's just admit it. And it's really hard for a man to cry, generally. For many men, they'll hold it back. They'll fight it. And some would even say it's not masculine to cry. For anyone who would say it is not masculine for a man to cry, I have a two-word answer. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus of Nazareth was the most masculine man that ever walked this planet. He was the man. Even Pilate said, "Behold, the man." He was the man. Don't forget, he carried that wooden cross to the streets of Jerusalem after having his back ripped open by a Roman whip. He was tough as nails, not this effeminate little scrawny Jesus you see in religious art. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. He was strong, but he wept because it was heartbreaking. What was heartbreaking? What was heartbreaking was what sin had done. Who was he mad at? Was he mad at Mary and Martha? I don't think so. Was he mad at the people mourning? I don't really think so. I think he was mad at the grim reaper, if you will. He was mad at death itself because this was never part of God's divine plan for us to die. We would have lived forever if our crazy first parents didn't eat the forbidden fruit. And by the way, it wasn't an apple. The Bible never says apple. People say, when Adam and Eve ate the apple, there was no apple. It was a nectarine, don't you know? Actually, we're not told. But because he ate that fruit, sin entered the world. If Adam and Eve had not eaten of the forbidden fruit, we would live forever. If Adam and Eve had not eaten the forbidden fruit, we would never age. If Adam and Eve had not eaten of the forbidden fruit, I would have hair right now and lots of it. Beautiful hair. I was signing copies of my book after the service, and some lady came up to me and said, I have to ask you, how old are you? I said, well, how old do you think I am? She said, well, I don't really want to say. Well, go ahead, take a shot. She says, 72. I'm like, what? Seriously? She said, I told you I didn't want to say. Wow. That's all because of sin, aging, sickness, and of course, death.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. In a new book, Pastor Greg Laurie recalls his friendship with Dr. Billy Graham.
He had this ability to connect from the beginning to the middle to the end of his ministry. I remember seeing him in New York at his final crusade in Flushing Meadows there. And I remember he just looked at the crowd and said, God loves you. And then he would turn to another part of the crowd and say, God loves you.
I read somewhere that what young people want and need from older people is, first, they want to be loved. And you want to be loved. And the Bible says God loves you. God loves you. God loves everyone here tonight.
He lived what he preached. There weren't two Billy Grahams. He was the same in private that he was in public. And he was the godliest man I've ever met.
The new book, Billy Graham, The Man I Knew, from Pastor Greg Laurie. Yours for a gift of any size at harvest.org. And now Pastor Greg continues his message called Hope for Hurting Hearts.
God can be glorified through human suffering and bring good out of bad. God can be glorified through human suffering and bring good out of bad. Mary and Martha wanted a healing. Jesus wanted a resurrection. He wanted to do more than they wanted him to do. You know, there are many times God wants to do way more than you're asking for. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly above and beyond that which we could ask or think. So don't limit God by your unbelief. Maybe you have a bill due. You need $942.76 to pay it. So you go to the Lord, Lord, I need this much money. Well, would you provide it? Well, don't limit him. Say, Lord, if you want to throw in five extra grand, I'm good. You know, whatever you want to do. Now, I'm sort of being a little humorous there, but the point is, he might want to do more than you're asking for. To say, Lord, here's my need. I bring it before you, but I know you can do exceedingly above and beyond that which I could ask or think. Here's the thing about hope. You think, how do you get hope? How do you build hope? Well, you need sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and a couple of unicorns, right? They're not real, by the way, but don't tell that to little girls. But the point is, we think, oh, all the good times, all the happy times will bring hope. Not really. Here's something that might surprise you. Hope grows in the garden of adversity. Hope actually gets stronger when things get harder. See, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, listen, the Bible says this in Romans 5:3. We glory in tribulations, which means we're happy when things are hard. That's not easy. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. You see, when a Christian suffers and still glorifies God, it reassures the rest of us that there will never be a valley so deep that God will not get us through it. It reminds us that our faith is real and will sustain us in our hour of need. When you're going through hardship, that's when you're going to find out how real your faith actually is. Okay, I've been saying these things for years. I've been telling these things to other people. Now it's time for me to get on this little bridge called faith and put my full weight on it. And I had to do that. And that bridge did hold me up because everything God says in His Word is true. And my faith grew stronger and my hope burned brighter. And it can happen for you as well. But you must turn to God, not turn away from God. See, that was a smart thing about Mary and Martha. They went to the Lord. And that's where you need to go with your pain right now. And I'm asking you in closing, are you hopeful or are you hopeless? I talked about the hopeless generation. They have probably more materially than any generation that's ever existed. They're very, you know, iPads. Now I'm talking about the pets have iPads now, you know. Everybody has all these great things. And so many of them are just, they have a high suicide rate. What's going on? I think it's because there's all these bright, shiny, dazzling things, and they quickly see the emptiness of all of it, and they're wondering, is there more to life than this? Well, there is, but it's not in stuff. It's in a relationship with God. You know, when you're young, you say, well, I'm not that happy now, but one day when I graduate from high school, I'll be happy, I'll be fulfilled. Then you graduate. Well, I need to graduate from college, and you do that. Well, I need to get married. Then you get married, and you're like, maybe I need to get remarried. So you get divorced, and I'm not making light of that, by the way, but I'm using it as an illustration. So you remarry again. Oh, well, maybe I made the wrong decision. I'll get remarried again. Then you say, well, kids, we need kids. If we had kids, we'd be happy. Then you have kids. Then you say, if we could get rid of these kids somehow, we'll be happy. Have you ever noticed it's always just a little beyond your reach? That's because it, the thing you're looking for, isn't out there. It's not a thing you hold in your hand. It's having Christ in your heart. That's what you're wired for. That's what you're looking for. I'll close with this verse. And this verse is 25 chapters, so be patient. No, it's just one verse. Proverbs 10:28. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked are all in vain. So if you're a believer and you have your hope in Christ, it'll result in happiness. But if your expectations are in other things, it's all in vain. Jesus has what you're looking for. He'll forgive you of all of your sin and give you hope if you're young, if you're middle-aged, if you're 72, or if you look like you're 72, or you're 85, or you're 95, whatever your age, the answer is the same. We need Jesus. And I want to close by offering an invitation to anybody here that may not have a relationship with God yet. Because listen to this, life without Jesus is a hopeless end, but life with Jesus is endless hope. You've heard of the endless summer? I'm talking about endless hope. It doesn't stop. for you in a relationship with God. Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. He died in your place and bore your sins, and he rose again from the dead 3 days later, and now he's here standing at the door of your life, and he is knocking, and he's saying, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. Have you asked Christ to come into your life yet? If not, why don't you do it right now? You'll find the hope you're looking for. He's just a prayer away. Let's all pray together. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you can give us hope in a seemingly hopeless world. And now I pray for any person here, watching, listening, wherever they may be, if they don't have a relationship with you, if they don't know that their sin is forgiven, would you help them to see their need for you today? Help them to come to you and believe in you, we ask. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And if you'd like to do just that, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will help you in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. Stay tuned. If you missed any part of today's study, you can hear what you missed by going online to harvest.org. Just look for the study called Hope for Hurting Hearts. Stream this study all over again while you're online, or to order a copy on CD, just call us, 1-800-821-3300. We're here to take your call 24-7. Again, that number, 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, I hold in my hands your brand new book called Billy Graham, The Man I Knew. Loved the book. One of your best, by the way.
Thanks.
And I'm going to flip all the way back to the back of the book, the second paragraph of the chapter you call Acknowledgments. And I find this fascinating. Here's what you write. You say, my collaborator, Marshall Terrell, and I have consulted a veritable library of Graham books, articles, periodicals, YouTube videos, and thousands of documents on the internet, including the 1,004-page file the FBI kept on Billy. Research reached as far back as the Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This book contains dimensions of Billy's life and background which have never been explored anywhere before.
Mm-hmm.
That part I found absolutely fascinating. The fact that you have done, I mean, you knew Billy. It says so in the title, Billy Graham, The Man I Knew.
Yes.
But you have dug so deeply into giving us such a rich biography on the man that you call the single greatest evangelist who ever lived.
That's right. Well, I want people to understand his place in history. He's truly a historical figure along the lines of our great presidents and people that impacted our country and even people that impacted our world. And so we wanted to go back to Billy's roots, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. So we tell the story with a wide overview, but then we go in deeply into his life. And what I wanted to do, Dave, was show the human side of Billy. You know, sometimes a person can fade into history and people never really had any interaction with them, and they almost become one-dimensional, like President Lincoln on the $5 bill. But he was a real flesh and blood guy, Abraham Lincoln, and so was Billy Graham. And it was my privilege to spend a lot of time with him, a lot of time just hanging out with him, a lot of time asking him questions, a lot of time listening to him preach. And I got to know him, dare I say, as a friend. Mm-hmm. And he was just such a great man to observe. You know, the private Billy was even more impressive than the public Billy. And the public Billy was very impressive. I mean, I can't think of a greater preacher I've ever seen. But privately, he was very humble, very gracious, and always was interested in whoever he was speaking to. They might be a famous person like a president, and they might be somebody you've never heard of before. Billy took an interest in people in general and had a wonderful way about him. And every time I was with him, I almost had to pinch myself. I mean, I was with him a lot, so it wasn't like every time I was with him, I had butterflies in my stomach or something like that. But I never stopped realizing this is Billy Graham I'm hanging out with here and talking to. And it was great to access him and hear things from him and share things with him and be of some small help to him in the final years of his ministry. As Billy was ending his ministry, I was starting my crusade ministry, and he asked me to assist him with illustrations in building bridges to younger audiences. So I love doing that. In fact, I found more pleasure in prepping a message for Billy Graham than I found in prepping one for myself. And when Billy actually used some of the material I gave him, it was just like one of the greatest moments of my life.
I can imagine it was. You know, Billy was the kind of man we all wish we knew personally. And you'll get to know him in this brand new biography. It really is an inspiring journey. Again, it's called Billy Graham, The Man I Knew. In fact, Ann Graham Lotz, Billy's daughter, commented about the book. She wrote, "In this page-turner of a book, I learned things about my father that I never knew. Greg Laurie has done a masterly job of setting my father's life in historical and cultural context. I pray that Billy Graham, the man I knew, will draw readers to the gospel, where they'll find the love of God that he preached so fervently and faithfully." So, can we send a copy of this your way? Pastor Greg is making it available to thank you for your donation of any size. And please know there are no churches or large organizations covering all the broadcast expenses. No, it's only through the investments of listeners that these insights can come your way each day. So thanks for being a partner with us. With your donation today, be sure to ask for Billy Graham, The Man I Knew. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. Call anytime, 24 hours a day, 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, a few moments ago, you spoke of the need to get our hearts right with God.
That's right.
Could you help someone who wants to do that very thing right now?
Yes, I'd be delighted to. Listen, as you've listened to this program today, maybe something's been happening inside of your heart where you're sensing, I need to do this personally, but how do I do it and what do I do? Let me help you. It's very simple. In fact, it's so simple you may be shocked. God, this relationship with him is just a prayer away. The Bible says, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So I'd like to lead you in a prayer where you do just that. You call on the name of the Lord. This can be the moment where you change your eternal address, literally from hell to heaven. Just pray these words, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. Jesus, I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In your name I pray. Amen. I know. It's such a simple, short prayer. But you just called on the name of the Lord. And you know what? He heard that prayer. And if you meant that prayer in your heart, he answered that prayer. Now let me help you to get started on the right foot in your new life in Jesus Christ. The greatest adventure awaits you, the life of walking with God. I want to send you what we call a New Believer's Growth Pack that includes the New Believer's Bible and a whole lot more. And let me be the first to say to you, congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and to get that free New Believer's Growth Pack, just ask for it if you prayed along with Pastor Greg to receive Christ today. We'll be glad to send one your way. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. Call anytime, 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, personally inviting you to join us for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a Bible study. It's a worship service. It's church in your home. Maybe you're not able to get out to your church right now. If so, join us for Harvest at Home. People are listening in from around the world. And listen to this. We have seen thousands of people make a commitment to follow Christ. So join us this weekend for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
In so many ways, this world has lost its way. But God wants believers to bring the kind of change it needs. So next time, Pastor Greg offers practical help on how to be a world changer. Tune in next time for A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.